never done morning prayer, no need to be anxious. We'll walk through this together slowly. Just invite you into a time of prayer. And there's no need to, you can interact with this worship in a way that is feels good and comfortable and spiritually rejuvenating for you. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil. Continuing on page 79. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, to set forth his praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and our salvation. And so that we may prepare ourselves in heart and mind to worship him, let us sit or kneel in silence, and with penitent and obedient hearts confess our sins, that we may obtain forgiveness by his infinite goodness and mercy. Together, most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Lord, open our lips. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, it is now, and will be forever. Amen. Turning to page 82. We will say the Venite together. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the peoples of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. The psalm appointed for today, Psalm 95. It is found on page 724. 724. We will read it responsively by whole verse starting on this side. Psalm 95, 724. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to him with psalms.
For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
In his hand are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are also his.
The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. They put me to test, though they had seen my works. They shall enter
your rest.
Together, glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Come, let us adore him. Continuing on page 84. We will continue on page 90. Sing together the song of penitence. O Lord and ruler of the host of heaven, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of all their righteous offspring, you made the heavens and the earth with all their vast array. All things quake with fear at your presence. They tremble because of your power. But your merciful promise is beyond all measure. It surpasses all that our minds can fathom. O Lord, you are full of compassion, long-suffering and abounding in mercy. You hold back your hand. You do not punish whom we deserve. In your great goodness, Lord, you have promised forgiveness to sinners, that they may repent of their sin and be saved. And now, O Lord, I bend the knee of my heart and make my appeal, sure of your gracious goodness. I have sinned, O Lord, I have sinned, and I know my wickedness only too well. Therefore, I make this prayer to you. Forgive me, Lord, forgive me. Do not let me perish in my sin, nor condemn me in the depths of my heart. For you, O Lord, are the God of those who repent. And in me you will show forth your goodness. Unworthy as I am, you will save me in accordance with your mercy. And I will praise you without ceasing all the days of my life. For all the powers of heaven sing your praises and your worship. A reading from the Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Now, his disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Because Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get the living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." "What you have said is true," the woman said to him. "Sir, I see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and went on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 'For months more, then comes the harvest'? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for the eternal life, so the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I had ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The word of the Lord. So here we are, a small group of folks gathered in this place, in the midst of something unprecedented, I think. Certainly challenging for our church. And we're given the season of Lent to deal with these things, which might be appropriate. And the psalm which calls us to kneel in our hearts. Man. And this story about water in the Old Testament and living water in the New Testament. And we're wondering what to do with all this. So, this story about the Israelites making their way out of Egypt, where they have survived the plagues and seen all these things go down, where they fled into the wilderness and were stuck in between the army of Egypt and the Sea of Galilee and the opening of the water and the dancing of Miriam and the salvation, and then the trek to the Mount Sinai where Moses does the impossible, comes in face-to-face contact with God Almighty and brings down a covenant by which they can become the people, their identity, the people of God. All this has happened for these people, and yet still, they find themselves in the wilderness, thirsty, and they say to Moses, "Man, why don't we just go back to Egypt, right? Why don't we just go back?" And then the water that Moses is asked to hit with his staff there to bring about is the water of Meribah. And if we all knew Hebrew in this room, what we would know is that that's a little bit of a play of words. Meribah means something like murmuring or complaining or griping, the water of griping. This is the water of griping, right, that is provided for these folks. And maybe, I hope and pray that maybe you in your own life, if you unpack your little experience in the world, that you would see some parallels between what God has brought you through and yet still when you come up against it, what you're willing to complain about, right? And so here, it seems strange to me that that here maybe we provide something like the waters of Meribah, right? That in our little lives where we die the little deaths that we die and face the little challenges that we face, and you know, right now I'm kind of dying a little death, wondering if I'm going to get to have the wedding that we have worked so hard to plan over these last several weeks, but I've already canceled the motorcycles and cages and there's not going to be juggling fire. So so what kind of wedding is this even going to be, right? Coronavirus ruining everything. And so in this midst of Lent and complaining, maybe we come to this place to get the living water, to be given something physical in our hands, right, and something liquid in our mouths, to be reminded that God shows up in our lives. And maybe through this thing that's happening, God is saying to us, do you really need this Meribah water? Do you not know that I am living water? That every encounter that you have with love or graciousness or forgiveness or hope or joy, that these things are, they're living water. And that if you just looked at like the people of Samaria, and man, I totally bored all the people at St. Albans with this, but you know, so the story here is that the people of Samaria are folks who did not end up getting exiled to Babylon in the 5th century BC. And so they began to worship on this remote sort of mountainous area that is east of Jerusalem. And if you go to that mountain today, the town is called Annapolis, and people still worship there as Samaritans to this day. And they make goat sacrifices up there. What year are we in? 2020. To this day, you can go visit. I've been to this place. And but they had held on to their tradition while these other group of more established Jews had been taken into exile and then returned. And so when the folks came back from exile, what they wanted to do was bring some sort of unity to the worship and said, you got to stop doing what you do and you have to come down here to Jerusalem to worship and do these sacrifices. And it was that separated these people who were basically the same, right? Who were the same in most all conceivable ways except for one said you need to worship in Jerusalem. And then all this animosity that was built up around this. And of course, as things go, once we identify the other, it was not only do they do that, but they smell funny too, or whatever it is, right, that we use to separate each other. You know, there's no parallels between that and today, Democrats, Republicans. Nothing like that. Nothing where people who are basically the same, who are bowing down together at the altar of consumerism, then find a reason to hate each other, right? And here we are in the midst of this coronavirus, and we're finding ways to blame each other. I think in the last week, I've heard that it's the media, Obama, Trump's. It's everybody's fault, right, that this thing's happening. It's not that a virus formed in China and came here or somewhere in the world and came here. It's China's fault too, by the way. It's everybody's fault, right, that except for this is where we're going with this. And that strikes me as like the Israelites who have come through so much, given so much, blessed and endowed with so much, right? Given every assurance that they will be formed as the people of God, that life will be available to them. And yet, out of their fear, out of their anxiety, right, they do this griping thing, and God gives them the water of griping. And then Jesus, with the Samaritan woman, who has the other identity, says, I am the living water. And notice that it is this conversation about this woman's past, right? And people like to look at this and say, it's a sinful past, and he named it. Just know that in the ancient Near East, if you had five husbands, it's not because of sin, it's because of hardship, right? And so she's lived this really difficult, terrible life and gone through these many hardships. And God knows that about her. And the divine reality knows this and loves her through those things. That is the living water. And that is the promise that she delivers back to Samaria, which sort of converts these folks to be followers of the Christ, right? And so here we're given this opportunity to look at a world that says to us, this thing that we're going through, it's China's fault, it's this person's fault, it's if only the conservatives would do this, if only the liberals would do this, if only the media would shut up about this, right? That seems to be our focus, right? And instead, I think I got caught up with that because I'm kind of mad about this wedding thing and not having a honeymoon and not being able to be with my churches for 2 weeks. Like, that's really hard for me, right? And I'm carrying a lot of animosity about that and a lot of griping. And me and the divine have had some conversations about this. And so I was in Nashville helping Casey pack up, because it's not public knowledge, but since you came to this service, you get the knowledge that Casey is moving to Chattanooga. She got a job here in town. So we're packing stuff up and we decided that we wanted to go and look at the damage from the tornadoes. And so we went and took a look at these things. And we drove by the house of this couple that she knows that started this ministry called Open Table, which does this homeless ministry every Saturday morning in downtown in the park. And folks, hundreds of people come and get breakfast at this thing and have conversations and do a little bit of worship. And they lost their home. This group of people, this couple who have started this thing, have lost their home, right? And then they put out this message to the world that their true home, the love that they have for each other in the community, nothing could break that down. That's what they, in the midst of having their home destroyed by a tornado, this is what they say. And then that community, Nashville, and even the homeless folks are showing up to provide assistance and provide them with food and what they need in this transitional period. And man, and then you hear about like the guy hoarding all the stuff in Hickson, Tennessee, right? That's my brother, Jeb. I don't know that guy, but that's what we focus on. Instead of like focusing, is it the YMCA that's giving people meals, children meals, and that pizza place in New York that is giving kids food? There's a pizza place in Hickson, too. Oh, New York Pizza Department in Hickson, feeding kids. Right, here in Chattanooga, right? Folks, this is living water. This is what Jesus is talking about with that Samaritan woman. That God knows all these things about us and provides us life despite it. And I'm not saying that the Eucharist is something that's bad or terrible or awful, but just remembering that this is a physical reminder of a greater living reality. And that maybe this time in Lent, when we're sort of separated from it, it's an opportunity to be reminded that God comes to us and in us and through us and with us despite not having this thing. Amen. We will continue on page 96, affirming our faith together in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary, and suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord. Clothe your ministers with righteousness. Give peace, O Lord, in all the world. Lord, keep this nation under your care. Let your way be known upon the earth. Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten. Create in us clean hearts, O God. O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessings through our worship of you, that the week to come may be spent in your favor, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in your word you have given us a vision of that holy city to which the nations of the world bring their glory. Behold and visit, we pray, the cities of the earth. Renew the ties of mutual regard which form our civic life. Send us honest and able leaders. Enable us to eliminate poverty, prejudice, and oppression, that peace may prevail with righteousness and justice with order, and that women and men from different cultures and with differing talents may find with one another the fulfillment of their humanity, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Continue on page 100. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I invite your prayers, your thanksgivings, your offerings. We pray for Bishop Harris, first woman bishop ordained in the Anglican Communion, who died this week at age 89. Pray for Brad Whitaker, for the folks who are caring for him and surrounding him. We pray for those who have come in contact with him. We pray for businesses and homes in Nashville that lost their physical structure with no insurance. We give thanks for those folks who find this time of uncertainty and anxiety an opportunity to love more deeply and more creatively. Continuing with the general thanksgiving on page 101. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Thanks, everyone.